Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I like this. I never heard this song, but it samples Fleetwood Mac. It was perfect. You got a very famous white group, Fleetwood Mac, and you've got black artists, and it's the whole tenor of the segment that we do with Cornbread.
Glad we're on the same page, Hawk.
A little bit of everything.
That was a dumb mistake.
That was a dumb mistake, but it works. Cornbread Maxwell, legendary NBA star, is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. He's a Boston Celtics broadcaster. Gives me an opportunity just to mention the Stanley Cup Finals. Is that tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Stanley Cup Finals, the Boston Bruins. I'm imagining everyone in Boston is rooting for them. And the St. Louis Blues, you can hear that right here on this very radio station. Pre-game will start at 7:45 tomorrow. The broadcast is sponsored by Gunther Kia. You got to get to Gunther Kia for the summer sticker sales event. It's happening now through July 1st. So you can get some hockey. Final one of the season tomorrow night right here, AM 560, 96.5 FM HD2. Cornbread Maxwell is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, Celtics broadcaster, NBA legend, a finals MVP himself, and a friend of the program. What is up, Bread?
Oh, I am doing fine, gentlemen. It is a great day. They wanted me to tell you that 35 years ago, the Boston Celtics played a seventh game in Boston, and that happened as the last time they had a seventh game being played in Boston in sports. So yours truly had 24-8-8 and controlled that basketball game against the dreaded, stinking Los Angeles Lakers.
Woo! 24-8-8 in a game seven.
Show out!
Man, that'll get you something. That gets you legendary status in Boston, doesn't it?
That'll get your jersey retired in this building. Okay, that's what happened.
Which is not a bad accolade to have there. Is that whole city? Is it Bruins crazy? Are you rooting for the Bruins?
You know, when I don't get paid like most black people, I'm not concerned.
My man. So he became the flagship of the Panthers.
There you go.
I love the Panthers now, but the flagship.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is excellent.
That can go on the blacklist, okay?
Yeah, we're getting to it. We're getting to it. Hold tight, Cornbread. We got to talk about last night for a little bit. So what's your take? People are blaming the medical staff. I feel like a guy like Kevin Durant, a guy in that echelon, kind of controls his own destiny, like calls his own shots. But I guess if you get cleared, then maybe you have a false sense of belief that your body is okay. I don't know. What's your take on what happened last night?
All he wanted to do is come back and help his teammates. I don't think that you can read too much more than that. If, you know, every hindsight is always 20/20. Everybody, you know, could look back and, oh, he shouldn't have played. Well, you know, he wanted to play. And there was a possibility for him to play. I'm sure that the medical people went over it with him. And other than that, that's all you can get. That's all you can say. And you don't worry about the rest of it. So all those naysayers who want to start blaming Kevin or blaming the Warriors, you know, his career isn't over. I think that, you know, hopefully – it was only, you know, maybe a tear or a strain of the calf, and he'll be back better than ever.
Well, Brad, isn't it on the staff to tell him? Because that's what I had. I had dozens of knee surgeries, bro. That was my thing. My knees kept messing up on me. And when I was coming back, I would always tell him.
This dude just gave us his stats, 24-8-8 in a game seven. Your stats were dozens of knee surgeries.
That's why my jersey is hanging nowhere.
His jersey is hanging at the Medical Institute on Bird Road and
My jersey's at Hooters. That's where I spend most of my time. But, Brett, like, I would ask him going in, I was like, if I go back with this injury, can I injure anything else? Is this, you know, related to something? And I think that's what, and Charles Barkley talked about it this morning, the reason that KD should not have been playing is because the outcome was him potentially tearing his Achilles.
Well, you know, I don't think that you go that far. And the reason I say that, because who says when you're going to tear your Achilles and how? How many times have I talked to people who have said, oh, I was just out there with my boys and nothing was wrong with me and I tore my Achilles? That's going to happen on God's time. And, you know, those things happen. It's just it was unfortunate. Hopefully it isn't the Achilles. You know, I've heard them talk, you know, go back and forth. But I think that he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
You're not crying a river of tears for Kevin Durant a lot. I mean, it was hard to watch last night because you saw how pained he was, not physical pain, but the mental anguish of knowing that, you know, not only was his NBA Finals series over after a quarter, but probably next season, if it is, you know, the Achilles. Like, it was just difficult to see someone in that situation, no?
Yeah, it's always hard to see any great athlete. You know, in that kind of situation where, you know, he wants to play and there's an injury. But those things happen. I mean, if you've been around sports long enough, you've been with teammates who have come on the floor, who've had injuries and had great games. You know, let's talk about Willis Reed many years ago, 1973, came on for 2 minutes, spurred the Knicks towards a victory against the L.A. Lakers. In the Madison Square Garden, last time I think maybe the Knicks won. those are times when athletes just decide, hey, I'm going to get out there and play. I'm a play under pain. I'm a play under the duress. And you know, and you don't worry about it. You just got to play the game you love. You hope that everything is okay. But in that term, you know, bad things did happen.
Cornbread Maxwell is with us. One of the things that's interesting, because Crowder has this same kind of attitude a lot where, you know, fans like me that just watch the game, it's, oh my goodness, and I feel so terrible. And Crowder, you know, he's always got this disconnect to that. He's like, hey, man, I've played the game. I've seen the best go down. I've seen guys who were just on the edge go down, and that's part of it. We all know it when we sign up to play, 100%, and you know it's going to happen.
100% injury rate in professional sports. Everybody that plays is going to get hurt.
Absolutely, and I don't think that. And the timing on this just happened to be worse. The fact that he had already injured, they were trying to, you know, get him back. I think that anytime you're an athlete, that is what you sign up for, the fact that you're going to get hurt. Very seldom you're going to see a guy who is not – well, never are you going to see a guy go through his career, especially a good player, and not have some form of injury. You know, my belief, though, is this. You know, and I've heard different athletes go different ways, and I heard a guy talk about it one time before, and what he told me, he said, I want to come back and I want to be 100% because the fans, that's all they expect. All they expect you to be is 100% when you come back. Say if you're 80% and you're not there, some people are going to complain. So that's why some guys sit out. But myself, I just believe if you can get out and play, you just got and play.
And with KD now, he has a player option for $31 million, Cornbread, but – with him going into free agency, there were connections to the Knicks. You know, the Celtics, they have some pieces. They're going to add a piece this year. Do you think any team pulls back from KD with this injury?
I think we have to see what it is. You know, have they definitively said it is the Achilles?
No.
Oh, right. And until you know what that injury is, I don't think that anybody's going to say anything. You know, I think that most teams right now, the other 30 teams or whatever it is, would line up the opportunity of getting Kevin Durant. He is still probably, he is right now, the best scorer in the NBA, especially you think about size and all that stuff that he brings to the table. He is a nightmare for anybody to guard because essentially he's a guy who is 7 feet tall, who plays like who has the speed and the coordination of a guy who's about 6'4". He can get by anybody or shoot over anybody.
And if he does, let's say, you know, and it's all hypothetical, let's say they come out and say his Achilles is torn, he's going to miss a month. He's going to miss all of next season. if the would you want the Celtics to go get him, knowing they got to give him $200+ million, probably close to $300, and he's going to miss next year?
Now you're talking about a black man spending his money. Then that's when you say, well, can I get part of it back? I'm not sure.
Can you put him on layaway?
I mean, if it was my money and I had an opportunity to go out and get Kevin Durant and I knew eventually he was going to be well, then I would take that chance. You know, all these teams right there who don't have that superstar in their lineup, yes, they would take that chance. Because Adam Killing is not going to end the fact of his career. And he will get better. You know, he will be better. He's still a young basketball player in the prime of his career. So I would definitely say I would sign him.
Cornbread Maxwell is with us, a Celtics broadcaster. Now, are you guys pretty convinced that you're going to lose Kyrie?
You know, I don't know right now if it's going to happen or not. I think that a lot of people in the city have a lot of angst about Kyrie. I think that what you do is you just he has to make that decision on what he wants to do. As so far as the Celtics are concerned, I think the Celtics have to do one thing in particular. That's not let Kyrie walk for free. It has to be one hand washes the other. If Kyrie wants to leave, Celtics can pay him more money than anybody else, and you do a sign and trade. Let's just say, hypothetically, that it is somebody like Brooklyn. If he is determined he wants to go to Brooklyn, you give him his money. You say, Brooklyn, we'll trade him to you. And you give us D'Angelo Russell. Because you don't think D'Angelo Russell and Kyrie Irving can't play together because those are two ball-dominant guards. So if I'm the Celtics, I want something in return if Kyrie decides to leave. Myself, I don't make that move. Kyrie's with a great team, great organization, people who love him around here. So I don't make that move, but Kyrie's he's a little special, as we like to say in the hood.
Hold on, Cornbread, I'm going to put you on hold here. See if we can straighten out his phone line, because it got like echoey there at the end. Just see if you can straighten that out. Solana, you have your blacklist ready?
I do.
Because it seems like he's in the mood.
yes, that's my man. He knows, baby. He loves coming on.
From the get-go.
I have a couple other ones. From the blacklist earlier. We've been doing it for years.
Right.
Swerve.
Well, hold on. He's there?
He's
okay.
There?
Okay. Does his phone line sound good? Your phone line was crapping out there at the end.
Okay, can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, it's a little dicey.
Okay. Did you
move? Where'd you go? What happened? The interview started great.
No, I'm actually sitting right here in the bed. I didn't move.
All right.
I got to ask, before we get to the blacklist, I got to ask Cornbread about the dynasty talk. Because right now, KD's not playing next year, and he's probably not going to be a Warrior. So this, I believe the dynasty of Golden State is about to end, but five straight finals and all Cornbread. But you got the Showtime Lakers, you got the MJ Bulls, and I got your Celtics teams of the 70s and 80s right there with Bird and you and McHale and all those guys. Where does this team rank? If it breaks up right now, where does this team rank amongst those great teams of the past?
I think it's in the top five easily. The way they play the game, you know, they have changed the game that it is completely different than what we've ever seen. So you would have to say this is the greatest scoring team that we've ever seen, especially with the invention of, with the usage of the three-point shot.
And they use that well. All right, Cornbread Maxwell, for those that don't know, he joins us, and Crowder and I have, you know, constant dialogue on this show about things where I think, oh, yeah, everybody loves cottage cheese. And then Crowder will say to me, no.
No,
every
Jack.
White person loves cottage cheese. And then Crowder will say to me, everybody's favorite TV show is Martin. And I go, Martin, everybody's favorite TV show? No, Jack, everybody's favorite TV show is not Martin.
I love Seinfeld.
Yeah, and so we have constant dialogue, and we bring on Cornbread Maxwell. And then actually, you know, a couple weeks ago, we had Brian Scalabrine on, and he was terrific, and he said he would come on one time, and we could do a white blacklist at the same time with both of you guys. You get along with Scalabrine?
Of course I do. Scal's my guy.
Yeah, so there's good. Have you ever had the blacklist conversation with him?
No. Well, we do. One of them we talk about all the time. That is, and you love this. Black people do not eat meat that is not cooked well.
cook. Oh, you're talking about like a steak?
Yeah.
Oh, bread now. I enjoy me a good old Pittsburgh medium with that char on the outside, little pink soft middle.
Man, you go to a black cookout and you bring out a steak and some blood's running out. Ain't nobody eating. Everybody's going home.
I got you on the ribs.
I'm with Cornbread on this one.
You brother, if you got some red in your meat, black people are like, oh, no. Go back and put that on the fire, bro.
That's my black side coming out when I order it medium well.
Because
we were talking to Brian Scalabrine, and he's like, oh, I can give you one off the top of my head. He's like, if you get an invitation to a party and it's called for 8 p.m., what time are you showing up? I go, 8 p.m. Crowder's like, yeah, maybe about 9:30, 10 o'clock.
9:15 when the party get good.
Hey, and Brad, if you ride past and not enough cars are outside, you ride right down the road, go get something to eat, and come back.
Right. I'll pull up at 7:55.
Exactly right.
I'll park my car at 7:55, and I'll watch that clock. And the moment it hits 8, I will be standing at that front door. Ding dong.
Oh, no. But Crowder's right about that. That would be a blacklist like that. You ain't coming that early. And if they not that many cars, baby, we ain't going to be the first ones at the party.
Oh, you all right, entertaining.
Give Cornbread a cup. Now, some of these we may have done before, but go ahead. Give Cornbread some of the ones we've talked about.
This is a new one, Cornbread. Hawk brought up Hootie. You went and saw Hootie and the Blowfish.
I saw Hootie and the Blowfish on Saturday night up in West Palm Beach. And you know Darius Rucker, the lead singer, is a black man. Mm-hmm.
And I had to tell him, Cornbread, he looked at me like I was going to get excited. I told him, I said, we gave away Hootie a long time ago.
You know, here's the crazy thing about it. I happen to be a fan of Hootie and the Blowfish.
My man.
And of all things, I saw him in Charlotte, walking through Charlotte's airport. And nobody else really recognized him. And I said, Darius Rucker. And he turned around and he started smiling. So I'm not sure where I land up on the Hootie and the Blowfish thing.
That's why I love Cornbread, because he keeps it real. He doesn't fall into line with Crowder. He'll tell you how he really feels. Did he recognize you?
Yeah, he did. But we talked for a minute.
Yeah, he's a big sports fan, Darius Rucker.
And then this is something else. I'm about to call you Hootie. Cornbread.
Wow.
This is something between me and my wife. We got into it last week about. My wife bought a $279 toothbrush called a Philips Sonicare. I got so hot. Black folks ain't spending $300 on a toothbrush.
Oh, no, not at all. That toothbrush had to go back, and you had to go back and get one from Cress's or some from Woolworth for about $2.
Woolworth?
I just like how he says it as fact. Oh, no, that had to go back.
I couldn't. She already used it, Brad. I sure tried. And there's something else from the show. We had a whole discussion that if you have a cookout and there's leftover food, you then take it to your local fire station and give it to the firefighters. I don't think a black person has ever taken food to a fire station.
Let me tell you what a black person does when they come to a cookout and they come to Thanksgiving dinner. They bring two things, a smile and Tupperware. That's all they bring.
Ain't no leftovers.
Like trick or treat? Like trick or treat.
We are not taking no food to the fire. No. Because normally all the black people come with Tupperware, or if they're that cheap, they'll ask you if you have Tupperware so you take food with them. But it's not going to the fire department.
I'll use a Ziploc bag if it's good enough, Brad.
Put it right in my pocket.
And this is the last one, Brad, and we just talked about it today. A white man will take his wedding ring off and just live life, and his wife won't say a word to him. Can you just walk around without your wedding ring on whenever you want to?
Yeah, you got one finger, because your wife gonna take that one off.
Yeah, I told you.
A lot of times,
you better not have a hand at all when you go back to see your wife.
Yeah, a lot of times I go out and I just don't feel like wearing it. And Crowder's like, you're not wearing your wedding band? I don't feel like it.
I get scared for you.
Man, that is, you better be ducking when you come in the house, because your fingers still better be like raw, or there's a dog gnawed it off. That's the only reason you better not have your wedding band on.
See?
All right, so, but going back to Darius Rucker and Hootie and the Blowfish, Crowder says black people traded him for Eminem and Iggy Azalea.
I didn't take Iggy. I gave Iggy to the Hispanics.
You are saying that you did not trade Darius Rucker.
No, I didn't trade him because I don't do hip-hop music, and I don't even know who Izzy Azalea is. Eminem, he ain't on my playlist. So, Darius Rucker would be on my playlist. Eminem wouldn't.
You like any of, like, the new mumble rappers or whatnot, like Migos or anything? You listen to that?
Dude, I am 63 years old. The only rappers I like is the Temptations. That's all, okay?
I don't know if that's the right genre, Brad.
Look, you 63, you don't do rap music. You're trying to turn that crap off. What are you talking about?
You're not like cranky old man, though, right? But you've got some cranky old man tendencies.
No, I'm cranky old man because if I hear it, I'm thinking like, what the hell is they playing over there? Ain't no love song. It's kill somebody, beat somebody up, stab somebody. That ain't the kind of music going to turn me on. And it sure ain't the kind of music I want to dance to. And it ain't the kind of music I want to bring to my wife to bed with.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Crowder's talked about that before, too, where there's a dearth of artists nowadays where they just make love-making music the way they used to. Marvin Gaye,
Keith Sweat and Silk and Bell Biv DeVoe, even coming up, Brett, there used to be people that were dedicated to making love music. Now people all want to fight.
That's right. Brian McKnight is one of those guys right now that makes that kind of love music. But if you come in, let me say this. If you come to bed and you bring in an Eminem rap to bed with you, who is your wife and what are you doing? I need to know that. Eminem? Wait a minute. You playing Eminem in bed? Really?
No kids.
There you go. All right. Cornbread Maxwell, thank you for breaking down the NBA Finals with us in a manner that only we could. We love talking to you, man.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Are you traveling anywhere for the off season? You going on vacations?
Oh, I probably go a few places, but right now it's just I'll be in Boston for a little bit.
All right. Well, have a great summer, and we'll talk to you sometime soon. There you go. Cornbread Maxwell. He is a genuine legend and a genuine treat. He really is.
He's great.
You can't help but smile from ear to ear after you get off the phone with Cornbread. You're not really a cranky old man. I'm a cranky old man.
He knows himself. That's the great thing about being old. You know yourself.
That is excellent.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.